this could be on that, because that's the problem, can they do both, could they do both or not?
They might take it on, but, we have, on the industry side, we have terrific people who are all good spirits. Steve Becknell is free to do it. Ed Carter, you know.
Right.
Walrus. Jim Rhodes from General Motors, and he's Larry from US Steel, so we have a very high.
Yeah, all those are very, very intelligent and articulate fellows, so they'll.
They'll do well. Anyway, this labor management committee's job is to review the standards on the table and to recommend to the cost of living council what should be constituted as reasonable wage behavior. And then we will use that administratively. They're all delighted with the Dunlop plan. What I've been doing with labor fellows with Dunlop, we didn't announce it. We'll announce it when we announce the whole thing. And I've been called meeting, and I said, George, you want to have Dunlop in this job? And he said, I sure do, he's the best guy. I said, well, look, he's going to come over and see you. You've got to help us persuade him. Dunlop goes over, crazy, and he puts a lot of questions to me about, we need your cooperation on dispute settlement and so on, and me agrees and urges him to take the job. He's doing the same thing with Abel, and I set up the same way with Fitzsimmons. So we're kind of getting these guys in the corral. And of course, our biggest problem, Mr. President, is food prices.
I heard about the wholesale prices.
The labor fellows, they want to be reasonable.
But,
and they cannot wheel their rank and file if the food prices continue to go through the roof. There's just no getting away from it. And what we would like to do is accompany. No, sir, that just wouldn't do any good. But
I know.
Accompany the.
By what you like, do what you know wouldn't do any good. So what do you want to do?
Well, we think.
I know a sign of deep rain is a bad outcome.
Whether it work, he's a man that they knew that the controls wouldn't work. He says, after you try to wait, you get to like it.
That's right, I like it. I should send you.
You're not the same way.
I should send you the book that Herb Stein got up for me on my birthday. He had a whole list of.
Well, come on, food prices are everything. What would you do then?
Well, we would like to accompany the announcement of the change with an announcement of some policy steps, and Herb has gotten up a list of them. We have not gone over them with Butts, but what we would like to be in a position to do is go and say, look, if these are anywhere near reasonable, let's do it. For example, we subsidize the export of broilers, which are the chicken business. It seems ridiculous to subsidize an export of something that's in tight supply.
Right.
So why do that? And Herb has a list of things here. We would like to really get out on the table.
Well, we could further relax the planning restrictions on grain and soybean. They have been raised somewhat, but they still are restrictions. The prices of all these things have skyrocketed in the last month. Partly because of bad weather, people think there isn't going to be enough, and we can make sure we can do more.
Yeah.
We can sell stock to farm commodities still owned by the Department of Agriculture. We believe they could be reduced further without getting the low levels required for national security.
Well, look, on that, all up. There's no national security problem. That's just plain bullshit. That's a little business. The stock market is both same thing. John, you got my views on that paper that was prepared. He worked up in the stockpile nearly enough. That's pure figment of the imagination. There's going to be that kind of war.
As you know, we've got congressional problems with those
I know.
Stock
staggered this morning to see that the price of an acre of Iowa farmland had increased $45 in the last year, or 11%, which is the biggest increase since the boom of 1920. And that's where all these prices are going. They're just going into these high, being converted into high land prices.
Georgia's tax laws.
I don't know. Well, we could increase the import quotas on cheese.
Go ahead. It's our cheese.
Well, the
Mulcahy will like that.
Discontinued subsidies on exports of food commodities, the broiler being the subsidy on broilers is 14.5 cents per pound, is as much as the price of broiler.
All of this is going to raise hell with the farmers and the farm constituency. But the thing to do is you better raise the hell now rather than raise it later. Their income is fabulous, and these prices are just beyond belief. They've been just going up. Go over and do the best you can to buy some polos. Go ahead.
Well, then I have one more. Cut back concessional export sales under PL 480, except those for legitimate emergency relief.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Emergency relief. PL 480 is a huge boondoggle anyway. Feeding a lot of people that are, all I meant is we've got to look at our own problem here before we start helping chimpanzees.
So if you only use 480 in true emergencies,
like runaways, famines, and so forth. But what we do now, as you know, it's food, feed, sell, and gas, and you send it all around, and the purpose is to stop it. It frankly is one way to use up your surpluses, and frankly, a problem with the price of your home. But if the price is too high, do this. Now, on all of this, I would do it on a temporary basis, if I could suggest. If that's the way you can make it palatable, I heard the thoughts. Say, look, we're going to do all those temporary, and frankly, with the temporary, it then will become permanent. What I'm getting at is that bus will have a hell of a time wheeling if it appears that we're sinking a program that the Congress has enacted that we can say because of this emergency that we have here, suspended for. I don't know. Will it work temporarily?
Some of these crowd things
are immediate, and some take a longer time.
But you see what I mean? But instead, you can't go through the thing of shake and step. You'll have no opinion. Bus will be able to wheel it. But to the extent that it has to be permanent, the main thing is we've got to get at the problem of food prices. And we'll just have to take our knocks in the farm bill. And some of our, sorry. Doug?
On the question of presentation, I know your original thinking was to try to get it done by the end of the year, and we slipped that day in order to get it done congressional session.
Yeah.
We are positioned in terms of getting the executive orders ready and all the papers and so on prepared. So, and all these letter minutes are lined up. So if we could announce this on Thursday or Friday of this week, and we think it
we got by with it until the year, until we finally got into the neighborhood. We never defined the neighborhood until we were in it.
Second point that I would make here is, I would go, which I don't need to tell you this, Terry, but I would use her too, and John, and John. I'd call congressmen and those that are interested in senators. I'd make an extra effort with them. I'd call them. If necessary, hold their tails down here and give them, tell them that we follow it up on that.
two-year prosperity.
Yeah, 2 best years.
Another 2 years.
I have to put it this way, that 1973, that based on what we have seen, that 1973 and 1974 can be America's 2 best years economically. Why can you say that? We don't know that unemployment get down to 4%. You know, but it's easy to say that for the reason that there are going to be more jobs, there are going to be higher wages, we're going to have greater growth, simply because the country's a hell of a lot bigger. So it's easy to use the term, and that's why you explain it, of course. But you look back to some of the rather shocking years when we had 3.5% unemployment. It's nothing compared to now. This place is boiling. It's rolling. I'd like to start planning. Everybody heard. I want you to do it, and George and Chris. Think of it. I mean, I saw your, I just looked at your report about the economic report. I want you to lead hard on that. That a major danger, a major threat to this would be congressional overspending. Now, you and I both know in this room that other things could threaten. A wage price pusher could threaten, as I understand. And we might get to the point where I suppose people would lose confidence in the popular and so forth about the confidence and they quit buying and so forth and so on. But the threat that you and I in this room that we have got to fight, really, has got to be the Congress, because the Congress could bust this budget for $20-30 billion. And then we would be faced with a harder choice. We have to go for higher taxes, the tax rates will be held with the whole thing. Don't you agree? And if we don't go for higher prices, George, I think you'd agree here, you are faced with inflationary pressures right now. Suppose you have a $20 billion full of climate deficit. Isn't that inflationary?
In these circumstances, what be. I think that's not.
Well, really, with the economy.
Yeah, with the economy is low, as strong as
well. You see, this, you know, I know that the herd takes rent rates a little crazy, but most economists are. I read how
much the economy is.
It's interesting that rent and rent and rate. Oh, it's interesting at this point that he's in his maybe crazy way, been right on track. Did you read his last letter?
He doesn't send me any letter.
Well, no, he's right. You sent it to me there. Right on the line. But the point that he makes is that now is the time to move away from controls. Because he said he sees this thing rolling along at an arm's pace. Now, let me tell you one thing I'd like for both of you to think of in terms of the future, though. I would hate like hell to have 73 be a very good year and 74 be a lousy year. I'd be concerned about that. So I would rather take a little knock now. A little knock now. You see, take the heat now on some of these things. So that we could build for 74, because there we go.
The Fed has to tighten up. Incidentally,
do you really think so?
What it reflects is the fact that Arthur really did everything he could through the whole pre-election period, as I told you,
to keep it going.
Mills did a few things he probably wouldn't have done otherwise. He's held the discount rate down too low, and he's got to turn that around. He knows that.
Well, don't urge Arthur too much, though. Let me say, don't urge him too much. Because, you know, he'll get the Jesse Martin syndrome again. Don't you agree, Herb? I don't let Dan Bennett move
He's not going to do what they did.
Let's keep very close with Arthur here. There's no Arthur checking. Do you have any other views on it?
No, I think they're...
If Bennett turns around in midair, now it could really cool this thing too fast.
Well, I think they understand that we've had, and they don't control it week by week or month by month that well, and certainly in the last month this was at a rate which you wouldn't want to see sustained, but I assume that everybody over there knows that. I think we ought to be keeping close touch with them and show to indicate we don't want them to blow their roof off, but I think...
Well, can I suggest this in terms of just being in the house here? Quietly, I sort of mean you and her, myself and Martin. Now, it's just very... It's good to have Arthur on the team rather than off the team. Remember those terrible experiences we had for a while when he wouldn't do a damn thing. Now, I won't. But you fellows in about the economic report, I'd like to do a tape on that. Either just audio or audio visual, if we can get somebody to come and